Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Unofficial Controller Podcast. I'm joined with Tom, and it's a Bobby and Tom top 10 PS2 games of all time, or our favorite of all time episode. So what's going on, Tom?
I'm good, thanks, Bobby. How are you? How's New York?
I'm all right. It's all right, actually. It was 75 degrees yesterday. Now it's 68 degrees, and then it all takes a turn tomorrow when it goes back to 42. So that's New York weather for you.
We're all over the place here. Sunday, we had high winds and storms, and you know, and it's like April as well. And you're like, oh, come on, need some sun now.
Yeah, I mean, we get lucky with April kind of weird. You get a lot of rain in April, but I mean, that brings May flowers. That's the saying, you know.
Yeah, very true.
But the temperature in April is weird because you can hit 70 and you can hit 40. And that could be like the day after, the day before. 30-degree differences is massive change.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So sort of in wintertime, do you get snow and that in New York, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you get all the extremes then, don't you? Snow and...
Yeah, we get everything. The problem is, like, I feel like now spring and fall is like... doesn't really exist. It's either a longer summer or a longer winter now. It's just, we used to get all, like, you know, numerous 60s and 70s. Now I feel like you get a couple days of 60s, a couple days of 70s, and then it's like, bam, 80s. Like,
yeah,
my God. And then winter used to be a lot colder, actually. We used to get, like, negative temperatures, sometimes even, like, you know, tens, teens, and snow everywhere. I mean, it hasn't snowed. I mean, it snows, but we haven't had, like, snowfall where we had to, like, worry about, you know, shoveling it. It's been crazy.
Yeah.
I think they used to cancel school.
Yeah.
Hardly ever when I was growing up. Like, if we had one blizzard of like 97, that was the first time school was shut down in 30 years. Now, 2 inches of snow on the ground, no one knows what to do. They cancel everything. Like, it's just 2 inches of snow.
Oh, no, it's the same. It's, when we were younger, we used to get a lot of snow drifts, and that used to drift up. And we used to sit around the radio on a Sunday night, and they used to list the schools that were shut. And used to sit there, fingers crossed, call my school out, please. But nowadays, like you say, you don't need a lot. My work's the same. I mean, I used to go out and work outdoors when I 20 years ago when I started. We would go out in snow up to our knees, you know, delivering out in the countryside, getting people's. Now you have to have an assessment if there's a slip hazard, or you, so that you'd get a couple of inches to go, no one's going out, snow day, you can't deliver. And you just
it's mad. It's crazy how things change now, man. But I mean, I guess it is safe for, I mean, I get they want to be safe, but also things have to move on. And sometimes they predict, oh, 8 inches of the snow, and it's like just half an inch because, you know, the wind can just take a different turn and the storm can pass you quicker than they expect. But I mean, but to cancel everything, I remember they canceled trains. And I'm like, well, how am I supposed to get to work? So my boss used to live near me, Marlon, and he was like, hey, I'll pick you up. I'm like, all right. So we got in his little Jeep. We drove through a huge storm. Within 2 hours, storm was over. Sun came out, everything's melting. So I was like, all right, I saved the day. I don't have to call out sick. So it worked out. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that's mad as well, because you get like in this country, our airport's shut. A couple of inches of snow, airports are shut. There's airports around different countries in the world that have snow all year round, and they're always open.
You think, they work.
We just our country shuts down. You get 2 inches of snow, and it's just like people panic buy, and airports are shut, and you just like, just calm down. I'll be gone tomorrow.
It's true. No, panic buy is the best. As soon as you hear a storm, the supermarkets get crazy. They buy all this bread and eggs, and everything's like, you're not going to be locked in your home.
Yeah, it's not an apocalypse. It's not falling.
Calm down.
You'll be fine.
You know, it's like toilet paper all over again.
Yeah. Oh, don't.
You know?
Toilet paper and pasta was the big ones here.
It was unbelievable, dude. Unbelievable.
Oh, I'd never forget. There was, I know we're going off piste a bit, but there was when all the toilet paper scandal was going on, there's a supermarket near us, and about 3 months after it had all finished, someone went back with a van load of toilet paper with a receipt trying to get the money back. And the supermarket went, no, you bought it, you keep it, that's yours. Sorry.
Wow. Well, yeah,
you know.
You know problem. What?
Yeah.
That's your problem now. You want to buy a toilet paper.
Yeah.
Where are you going to put it, buddy?
You got £300 worth of toilet paper to last you the next 6 years. Good luck.
I remember during COVID, couldn't find toilet paper out here.
No, you couldn't hear.
It was like an apocalypse, like that's the new currency, toilet paper. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And then when toilet paper did come back, they made you take a line. It was one per household.
Yeah.
And then you had to literally show your driver's license. Because if your buddy's in the back with the same address and the same apartment number, guess what? You already bought toilet paper today.
That's mad.
I just don't get it. Yeah, it was madness, man. But
I expect there was a lot of companies made a lot of money over that period.
Oh, they sure did. If you had like stock in toilet paper, I'm pretty sure you made money there too.
People were selling bags of flour on eBay. Someone said, yeah, there was this own brand. My wife found it. There was an own brand bag of flour on eBay for £70.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was just like, what are you doing? There might be an elderly person living in the UK could use that. You know, they could use that for their cooking and make some meals and that. And you're trying to sell it, scalp it for £70 for a bag of flour. It's like, my God.
Scalpers not only hit the video game industry, they hit every other industry too.
Yeah. Where there's something for sale and it's in demand, there's a scalper.
That's it. That's how it works.
So what have you been playing this weekend, Bobby?
I've been doing
Helldivers.
100% Helldivers. I can't stop. They updated the game. They added a couple more things into it. Different planets have different terrain and all the other stuff. You know, we had rainstorms and like ion storms and everything. Now there's snow blizzards.
Oh, wow.
So when it starts to blizzard, you're like knee deep in snow. You can't run. So if you're in a bad spot in a snow blizzard with enemies, you're dead. Good luck. Good luck getting out of there. They definitely added, I don't know if they added more enemy count to the higher difficulties or they just made them harder, but, I feel, and a few other people I'm playing with feel like they definitely got harder with the update. But it's not like hard where you're cursing. It's just more like, okay, I got to use my brain a little bit more now. I just can't run and gun everything. I faced one of the new enemy tanks or whatever it's called. I forgot what it's called. It's massive. It has very little weak points to it. I blew up the top turret thinking like, okay, it's going to fall down. Didn't pay attention to it. That's my own fault. And I'm shooting other people. I never looked behind me and it just crushed me as I was walking.
You shot the turret off and as you walked along, the turret fell and crushed you.
I killed the turret and I thought the big explosion, I thought the whole thing was falling down. So I didn't look at it. I just, all right, it's going to die. It's dead. We got it. I turn around to shoot other things. Meanwhile, behind me, this thing's still walking. And then it just says, boom, and it crushes me. My brother's like, did you just die? I was like, yeah, the stick's not dead.
Just an imprint.
So we threw all our, they threw me back in. I said, listen, don't throw me next to that thing. Throw me where you are. So I led up my brother. I said, okay, we'll try to take this out. We'll run around the long way and get my stuff. Nah, that didn't happen either because it started killing us from a distance now. Then we got overwhelmed. They dropped drop ships, the robot. They dropped drop ships with tanks, hulks. We barely made the mission. We passed the mission with just a few samples, and we didn't clear everything because just with dropship after dropship, I was like, oh my God, we got to get out of here. Like, let's just finish the main mission and skedaddle because
that sounds tough.
No, it's really fun though. Like, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Sometimes you're in a mission where you're like, okay, where are the enemies? And the next thing you know, oh, I shouldn't have asked for them. And sometimes it's just a nice balance. Sometimes it's just chaotic. That's why, like, every game is different. So, you know, I'm still enjoying that. I got a few people text me that they're going to get it if I'm still playing. I'm like, well, I'm still playing now. So if you want to play, I'm here. But, you know, I don't think I'm going to just stop playing it. I might not play it as often, but I'm still playing it.
That's good. I suppose if they keep, I mean, every time you go back on, they seem to have added stuff or new effects.
Yeah,
or new,
supposedly every 2 weeks, they're going to add different things to the game.
It's good support, that.
No, it's not bad. Yeah, I have to say it. And any kind of issues people have been having, they've been contacting the developers. They've been trying to balance it out and fix them up. So, I mean, it's a PvE game. So it's like, you know, it's not like people are complaining that things are overpowered. You know, if something's overpowered, great. But doesn't mean you're going to be able to use it every 2 seconds either. So, you know, it's just about strategy. And then, like I said, you think you have your way of playing. Someone else comes in with weapons. You're like, why did you pick this weapon? Next thing you know, this guy's John Rambo. And then you're just like, oh, let me try what he did because it worked for him. You know, it just, different scenarios for different things. So definitely still exciting. Still love playing it. But I started doing Destroy All Humans 2.
Yeah.
I think I'm in Japan now. So I completed everything in America and in England. Now I'm in Japan. Still funny. Still like just mindless, stupid humor missions. Nothing too difficult. I just forgot how annoying collecting things can be. So I found this interactive map, because in the game, you can upgrade and you can find like a collectible detector. So when you're near something, you get like a little radar, and the closer you get to it, the more it pings, and then eventually you'll find it. That only works if you're near the area. Things are so spread out. How am I supposed to know where they even are? So I went online. I found this interactive map. And I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? Every time I go to a new country, the first thing I'm doing, getting the collectibles.
Yeah.
Because everything else I just play. So I put on whatever podcast or music, get all the collectibles, and then I start playing the missions. Yeah. Because if you don't do that and you're missing one item, you have to go through the whole map again to find the item you're missing. And I don't have time for that.
No.
So collectibles are a nightmare in any game. But
yeah, no.
At least put them on a map. Like, give me an option. Maybe I'll level up higher. I could buy something, put them on the map.
Yeah.
But you don't put them on a map. Now I got to use another map from the online. I had to do what I have to do.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, what did we do before online? Do you know what I mean?
My God. Listen, you had to have either a guide, which no one hardly uses anymore, or luck. Because there's some games you go back to.
Yeah.
That we played as kids. How did we figure this out? I have no idea.
Well, so I know Ginge, I'll say recently, in the last couple of months, I think, he completed the Jak and Daxter, got the platinum for that on the store, which is like the PS2 game, but that's got the PS4 with trophies added on. And and he said to me, I'll try and platinum this. And I said, I think I've got the Jak and Daxter strategy guide. Maybe you can buy one of them. He said, I've already looked into that. He said, you can, because he said the collectibles are so hard to findable.
They are difficult.
But the strategy guide doesn't show you where the collectibles are. And I was like, oh, no. So no. He just had to, yeah. So he spent hours just finding all these.
No, it's ridiculous. I remember Arkham Asylum had a lot of collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't the worst, because you could kind of scan the area and everything. Arkham City. I mean, there was over 400, I think. I've got to find a little Riddler trophy, bro. Not only did I have to find them, sometimes you had to open them up with a puzzle.
Ooh.
So, like, yeah, I mean, collectibles in games are just annoying unless you put them on the map for me.
Yeah.
But other than that, the game is pretty simple. Nothing too crazy about it. I should finish it this week. I also downloaded, I put the disc in for Dead Island 2. Mm. My brother has it. My boy Marlon has it. And the Gaming Gram has it.
Yeah.
So you could just jump in, jump out. So I figured, all right, I'm something else to play. If people get tired of Helldivers, I have another co-op. Knock that out.
Yeah.
Cool. That's pretty much it for me. What about you?
Pretty much usual. Couple more missions done on Expeditions. The missions are getting very long and very tough. I tried again on this mission. I think I spoke about it on the show a couple of weeks ago, but I went back to this mission. I was so traumatized by it. I haven't tried it since, but I went back and basically you've got a big truck and you've got a vibration device that you have to put on the ground, but it doesn't tell you where the points are on the map. It will just show you points in meters. So you have to keep sort of moving a direction till you can and work your way through this map, try and find where. Anyway, there was three of them, and I tried twice to get to the end because I was running out of fuel and I was having to try and work my way through airdrops. I ended up using all the airdrops. Then I was recovering my vehicle, which costs you money, to then drive back out to try and find this. Anyway, eventually, on about my third try, got to the third place, done the seismic vibration on the floor, thought, yes, popped up another two to find. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, God.
I was like, no, I'm broken. I can't. No, like 1,000 or 1,800 meters away. And I'm like, so I tried to get there, but I'd used all my fuel up on the airdrop. So I had no other way. And I thought, so I ended up failing it. And I was like, I think I made it to one of them, but there was still one left. And I thought, I can't. Now I just chugged out of fuel I had no other option. So I think I'm going to have to take a different approach to that, use two vehicles, put a vehicle halfway along that I can use the fuel of to try.
Oh, that's smart.
But oh, that was tough. But I, there's a couple of other ones I'd done which were good, which looked, one of them looked quite easy. It came up as very hard, and that was, I had to find these totem poles on top of these mountains. And I thought, oh, they're really close to the base. Because you, when you, before you start the mission, you can go on the map, see where the markers are, and you can move through any base on that map. So I thought, oh, I'll go right close to it. That's, I'm going to take, you know, 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 hours later, I finished it because they are on top of these mountains. So you, you look at it as if you, even you look on the map or use your, well, I had to keep using my drone to assess the terrain. You think, oh, it's only just up there, but it's just a sheer cliff. And I can't get up there. And then you risk damaging your vehicle. So then you have to go all the way round to where you can work your way up the mountain from the back of the mountain. So I had to do that three times. I got it done.
Oh, God.
But that was good fun. But, yeah, I've only done a couple more on there. More Bioshock. I'm about halfway now through Bioshock, with playing with my strategy guide. But my controller's just about had it. But I said to you when we were off air, I've bought the Retro Fighters Defender controller. So that I can use that on PS1, PS2, and PS3. So I'm looking forward to trying that out. So that'll make it a bit easier on Bioshock because I've got a funny L1 button. So when I'm trying to change my...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It keeps locking it into the map and you're trying to flick through quick and you can't. And I keep messing up and I thought, I've got to get another controller. So rather than trying to buy a secondhand PS3 one you don't know that works, I thought if I buy a Retro Fighters, which I've had before for the Dreamcast and they're very good, at least I've got... I can use that on the PS1, PS2, and PS3. So they're quite highly rated, so I'm looking forward to trying that. But, yeah, Bioshock, I say I'm about halfway through. And I know people probably remember, I used to really struggle with FPS games. I used to get motion sickness from them.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it used to be terrible. I mean, I used to watch Boba when he used to upload his Call of Duty videos. 10 seconds, I'd have to look away.
Oh, wow.
I feel sick. Yeah, and I think it was, if I was in VR, I'm fine because I'm moving my head. If it's in a game, I'm moving the view, but my head's still, and I think that's why it gave me motion sickness. But I think it was Boba suggested to me, go back to the older FPS games, and you'll probably find it easy to play them, which now I've done Halo, now Bioshock. Yeah, touch wood, I've been fine. So I've been, and now I'm finding games that I've missed out on, hence Bioshock.
Yes.
But I'm loving Bioshock. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I love the world. I love that noir sort of alternate 1930s. I love the music. I love the story. And it's just a game I really want to play at the moment. And I know I've said this before in other weeks, but looks awesome on PS3.
Yeah.
Runs really well. I just think it was a game that was really well perfected with a good story. Really well designed, good map layout, not too much backtracking, but the options there. So if you need to change one of your special powers or you need some first aid, you know where you can go back where there was the machine where you can do it. So it's all, yeah, I'm really enjoying that. And I love playing with strategy guys. So I'm loving going through and working out where the bits are and looking up where I've got to. And yeah, so that's really good. And finally, a couple of days ago, I downloaded Chorus.
PS5.
The PS5 version of Chorus. I think it was originally a PS4 game, then they upped it to PS5. It's a space game, like a space shooter, but it's more like a single-player story. So it looks gorgeous. I mean, graphically, it's really good. They've done a great job upscaling this. I think I remember back in the day, I think this was one of the Embracer Group's companies made this game, and they were quite disappointed with the sales of it. It went under the radar a bit. It's tough. I will say that. I think it's more because of the controls. You throttle and brake with your left analog and steer with the right. But then if you move the left analog left or right, it will do a barrel roll. But I keep trying, because all the space games I've played on PS1, I keep trying to steer with my left analog
stick. Yeah, yeah.
You steer, and it feels a bit funny. But it's good if they used a controller well, PS5. When you're using the guns, on your R2. It has the trigger, feels like a weapon. You can feel You get recoil in the controller as you fire them, which is really good. I've got to a bit, I'm a bit stuck. But it's, you're liking this, it's almost like the part I'm in at the moment. I'm not very far in, probably 2 or 3 hours. The part I'm in at the moment is like an asteroid belt, but they've set up bases on this asteroid belt. And yeah, that's like a little mini open world map, and you'll fly off. You can do side missions, carry on your story missions. It's quite an in-depth story, actually. It's quite hard to follow, but it's quite in-depth. And you can go off and do these missions around, and you do combat and fight in these alien ships that are coming in, or war parties that are trying to take over your base. You can go off and do cover missions, so you're looking after spaceships and flying. It's good, but like I say, I was on medium level, got really stuck on a mission. I was just getting annihilated, so I dropped it to easy, and I'm still even struggling a bit on easy.
No way.
It's a tough game. But
oh damn.
It's a shame that it's a shame that this went under the radar a bit, because, you know.
Yeah, I never heard of it.
No, and being a space game, if you've got PlayStation Premium, it's on there, you can download it as part of your package. As a space game, it's really, really good. Like I say, it looks good. Like I say, controls are a bit janky. I think they've almost gone for a sim control there with your throttle and your steering. You could probably change it in controls, to be honest. It plays really well. It's almost like a third, it's not a third person adventure game, but just in a spaceship. You know, and then you'll go off and there's hidden things you can find and collectibles and bits. It's quite good. I'll play more. I mean, it depends how much further I get to how tough it gets, but it's definitely something different, and it's worth a look, really. So, but yeah, other than that, that is pretty much all I've been playing, Bobby.
That's good. So, want to jump into the games? I didn't number them because I can't, in my heart, I can't do it. So I went alphabetical again. So let's see if we crisscross any games like last time. We had a few the last time we did the PlayStation games.
I
wonder if we'll have similar now.
I think we might do. I found this tougher than PS1.
Yeah, me too. Definitely.
We were talking off air before this, the library for PS2, and how long that system was out, and how many games were accessible, and because there were so many big games, it's a hard list to do. And then also, I've done a top 10. Whether it's actually in the right order, I don't know, but it's hard to put whether it's the game you've ranked at that level because you loved it, or you ranked at that level because of what the game done.
Yeah,
there was a lot of big games that come out with new genres and new ways of doing games, and so they're regarded highly. So, and I was thinking, am I putting that in that number because of how highly regarded it is, or because of how I like it? So I've tried to do it on how I've liked the games, but yeah, I'll be interested.
Yeah, for me, it was difficult because I put myself back into the age I was when I started playing these games.
Mm.
So you're looking at what, like 2000, like it's like 20 years ago, right? Yeah. So like, you know, sometime in my 20s, what was happening with the games I was playing, who I was with, you know, is there a nostalgia factor? Is there just a phenomenal game, whatever it is? So it was hard. I could have easily done 20 and even struggled with that.
Yeah.
But I feel like, all right, I got a top 10. It's weird, but this is what I feel. Also, there's a lot of games you all missed on PS2 because there's no way I played every single game.
No.
But I played a lot of them, and these are, I figured, the ones I would go back to. And also, ironically, well, not ironically, but I also have my top, these games are physical too.
Mm.
So that helped, I guess. Because if I liked it enough, I would have it, right? Yeah, exactly. So I guess I used that off it too. So yeah, definitely harder than a PS1.
Yeah, and also I think, you know, I've got, as people know, I've got quite a substantial PS2 collection, and I've still got so many of the big heavy hitters that I still don't own or I've ever played. And I played this console a lot. And you just think, my God, the games are there. I mean, I think there's a member of our Discord called PS Too Many Games as a YouTuber, and he's going for the full PAL set, which is correct me if I'm wrong, about 1900, I think. And I think
it's huge.
I think he's well over 1,000. Put it in there, PS Simony Games, if you're listening. Put it in the Discord, how many you've got at the moment. But if you look at his collection as well and you think over 1,000, and he's probably only just over halfway.
That's
you're like,
crazy,
my,
man.
Yeah, what a library. But
and you could fit the whole 8 and 16-bit generation on a little micro card, which is just, to me, is incredible, man, how far we've come.
Oh, no, that's crazy, isn't it? That's absolutely mad, isn't it?
But even here with the PS1 to PS2, another big graphical jump, and they can do more things now.
Yeah.
Just a system later, which is, you know, these also changed people's perspective on games too, a lot of these things. Some people started up with this era, which is...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you know, best-selling console of all time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my brother was born 98, so he definitely was playing PS2 as his first system. So I'm sure he has a different totalist than I do. And I should have asked him. I forgot about it.
Easy to get your parents to buy one because you just say, oh, do you want a DVD player? Sony's doing his DVD player called a PlayStation 2. If you get that, then you can watch. Oh, can we? Yeah, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Half the price of a normal DVD player. So
no, it's true. Yeah. Some of the DVD players were expensive, man.
Yeah, it was a marketing.
What a weird time, man. Break. You can even still go rent these games in Blockbuster, at least so over here for us. Which doesn't exist anymore. No rentals. Way. Yeah. No. That's another sad nostalgia story gone from our childhood. But it is what it is. So
what you got first then, Bobby?
So it was hard because, well, the first one I put was Grand Theft Auto Vice City. So just thinking about all the Vice City, all the Grand Theft Auto games, right? The Vice City, San Andreas, and 3. And then I think there's Liberty City Stories. But I went with Vice City only because it had to be the nostalgia of the 80s. And like I was a baby in the 80s, right? I was born in 83. But just all the music in the 80s, you know, hearing the stories of my parents when they were in their 20s and the 80s and everything. So that definitely hit with me. Obviously, the soundtrack was phenomenal. So if you have the original game, there is no reduced license on the music because it's in there. You know, the new release has different music because they lost licenses for it. I have the CD of this Vice City. So I mean, you could probably get it for free. I mean, you could download them for free, obviously, but that's just to have the CD there. And I liked the story a lot. I just love the little city they were in. They created like a little mini Miami.
Oh,
which was phenomenal. This was, I think, one of my, this is another story where I wanted to bring my brother's neck because he didn't understand about loading and saving. So I was playing this game, know, and now I realize I took my memory card out and I hit it and I gave him his own. So he played on my memory card and he kind of ruined everything for me.
Oh no.
And he deleted it. Because he wanted to play something else, and he thought I could just get it back. I'm like, nah, bro, that's not how this works, this technology. So I had to replay it again, but it didn't really bother me. I don't know how far I was in, but everything got lost. So I did cheat a little bit to get to where I was to finish the game. But I remember my mom was upset with me, and she told me to go into talk to you. So I go in the bedroom, close the door, and she's like, you know, I don't know what your brother's playing, but you know, it seems like he's picking up hookers and he's running them over and getting the money back. What kind of game is this? And my mom never really asked me anything about gaming. She bought me whatever. I used to watch rated R movies when I was a kid and it was the 80s, bro. No one cared, you know, but I was like, mom, it's just a game, you know, but she was like, yeah, but your brother's doing this. He's only like 4 or 5 years old. How does he know how to even drive? I'm like, he just knows how to play the game. So that will always hit my mind, which was hilarious. I mean, I think this was one of the first games. He was young and he beat this game. You know, cheats or not, it's still pretty good. So Vice City will always stick in my mind just for those stories alone.
Yeah.
San Andreas, probably the better game. But I just love Vice City, bro. It's in my heart. So I picked that. That's my first,
one
down.
I got those later on in my list. I'll get to those. I'll talk about those when I get to them. But yeah, that's great choices for those. I'll start with my number 10. pretty generic again, but it's the reason I picked them. I've gone with the Pro Evo Soccer Series from from 2004 to 5, 6, 7. And the reason is with these, obviously we spoke about these on the PlayStation 1 episode we done. For football games, they were the best of their time. And they also introduced me to a new form of career mode with obviously we had the Master League before, but now you could have youth players and you could upgrade your youth players. And that was a whole different gameplay. So you were taking these youth players on, playing them in the games, training, getting all their stats up. And I remember I took over, I started playing with Inter Milan. I think this was on 2005, I think. And I used to play because I used to work from early in the morning. I'd be home just after lunchtime. And then in the afternoons, I was on it every day for a year. And I took Inter Milan. I won everything with Inter Milan. I had Adriano up front, but the rest was just all young youth players I brought through and put all their stats up. So I had a midfielder who was quite slow, but had like 92 on shot, so he could score from long range. And I even had a young striker up front with Adriano, and he actually was called Di Canio. They'd sort of used the older players' names at the time. And I had a young player called Di Canio, and he ended up being nearly the highest-rated player on the game. And just built this team, and that was just a whole new side because Master League was good before. But then adding this youth side in that you could then, you really feel like you'd built the team. And it was so in-depth, and they released them each year, and they weren't too generic. There was always quite big changes every year.
Because I remember, every year too, they try to add more like official teams to it. Yes. They try to sponsor it out. Yeah.
You know, and there was just that they kept adding more depth. And, you know, these were the days nowadays with your FIFAs. Yes, I only play career mode. I'm sorry, it's not FIFA now, it's EAFC. I only play career mode. I don't play the ultimate team, which seems to be where more of the games have gone. But this was the time when there wasn't really much online. So Konami or EA would put everything into the career mode, and your career modes just seemed so, even though they're in depth now, yes, you've got bigger machines, but for the time, it just seemed, rather than just taking over a Merseyside Red team and doing a season winning the league, now you've got a budget and you can get youth players in and you can buy players. And that all started to build to something really, really good. And I just think that, I haven't put no specific one in, but just that generation of four or five games for Pro Evo, I thought were special and really good. And I've been so tempted lately just to go back and play another season on there.
They were really good.
Because they're so good.
I used to spend sometimes hours and hours and hours just designing uniforms and putting all the little logos on these things and then playing them. No, these are really good. And I also feel like the ball was its own character. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like it was just like some games you just hit past, the ball went to the guy. Right here, you could like lob the ball out, full on sprint, trying to catch it. Yeah, these are amazing, bro. That was a good pick.
Yeah, I think that was a time when FIFA was on catch up, and you know, like I said before, all the time they done was into those career modes. They wanted you to play it as long as you could to the next year, to the next game, and it was just, yeah, absolutely loved it. And it's still, to me, I mean, especially the PS2. Versions of Pro Evo still look really good.
They really do. Yeah,
they still play really well. They play really well. But yeah, that was my number 10 is the Pro Evo series on the PS2.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
So for me, I put God of War 2. Mm-hmm. God of War could have easily won up here, but God of War 2, whatever flaws were in one, were definitely fixed with 2. And yeah. I thought 2 was just like the better game of the 2 that came out for PS2.
Yeah.
I played this for hours, man. Hours on hours on end. This was one of the first games where I was like, I felt so confident that I kept going up the difficulty and I unlocked all the extras that you could unlock, which I really didn't do back in the day. Normally I just beat the game, moved on to the next game. Cause you know, you're a kid, you know, like you don't have your attention span is whatever. You're in your 20s. But here I remember playing like the hell out of this game, bro. The whole Athens attack and you were like the god of war now officially. And then, the story wasn't that bad. The action was good. Graphically, it was pretty impressive. A lot of enemies on screen at once. There was no slowdown. The music was great. And then the ending was just like made you wait, like want God of War 3, which took forever, it seemed like. But the memories of God of War 2 I had were just incredible, bro. I played this every day after work. Sometimes as just a stress reliever to just start wrecking havoc. I put this on and just go ham with all the enemies you can take out. But yeah, God of War 2 is definitely...
Yeah, and also, I mean, that was a stunning-looking game for the PS2 as well. Graphically, they went to town on that. That
looked it was really
good. I think I remember seeing that on a kiosk in... Must have been an electronics boutique, I would imagine, back in the day. And I remember seeing that playing in a kiosk God of War 2 and thinking, is that a PS2? Is that playing on a... That looks phenomenal. That looked like a high-end PC.
No, really, really well done.
Yeah, the effects and draw distance, everything was done really well. Yeah, that's a great choice. God of War 2. Next on mine, number 9, is Devil May Cry. Yes, you had Devil May Cry 1, 2, and the notoriously hard 3. But I've gone with Devil May Cry 1, and that was... Go back again, me and the border shared a house, and the next door neighbor had a PS2. And he'd played this, and he said, you ever heard of this? And I was like, Devil May Cry? Didn't make sense. What's that?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And, you know, I thought, oh, I'll give it a go. And then suddenly I just thought, oh, this is actually rather good. And that's when I first started. I know it's sort of like a hack and slash game where you fixed sort of camera angles, but it had that combo, get your enemy up in the air and get.
Stylist.
Almost like a skateboard game. You had that combo. You could keep it rolling, keep in the air, you know, from gun to sword to fight, you know, and then you had to explore the rooms and collect all the different orbs and that up for your path. And I put some hours into it. I loved this game. I loved the setting. It was never my sort of thing. Was never into that sort of gothic looking sort of game, but this sort of swayed me more into it then. Once I got into this, and it was quite an addictive game. I suppose it's a bit similar to you with God of War 2. It had that such good controls, so tight controls, and it was one that you just wanted to master all the time. It's one you just wanted to get better at. So you just kept playing and playing and playing. And then obviously at the end of levels, you were ranked.
So then
that gave you that, oh, hang on, I only got a B. Oh, I get an A or even an S rank. So you'd go back and play that level again to try and get a, so it was, and you ended up then knowing where you were going and the route you were taking. So, yeah, great replayability, brilliant game, and just a great start to a new series, which I absolutely loved. I thought it was a brilliant
game. Yeah, this game made me change how I started to fight enemies because you have all these different combos you would use. Some of them might be hard to pull off, but once you pull them off, you felt like a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kept getting those S rankings. Like it came like a little bit of an addiction. Like, you know, how good can I really be? Let's keep going with this rank.
Yeah, because I remember going back. I hadn't finished the game, but I remember going back and playing another level because I thought, now I've got better, I can improve that level. So I went back and improved the level and got an S ranking. And then I thought, I'm going to need to do all the others on S now, aren't I?
Yeah.
So then you start to go back and try to, and then, you know, your hours are taken up by not actually the story or the game itself, but that's that extra side content of trying to better your personal score. So that added another side to it. Yeah. But yeah, Devil May Cry, brilliant, brilliant entrance to a new series that I really loved.
Yeah. No, really, really good choice there. Up next for me, I got Gun. So, what's his name? Thomas Jane did the voice acting for this character.
Oh, did he?
He played the Punisher. Yeah, he was in it. I forgot how the game was creator. I forgot the background to it, but I love Westerns ever since I was a kid because my father loved Westerns. I watched them all the time. I have a bunch of old DVDs from John Wayne and Clint Eastwood on here and a couple others that were just like those spaghetti Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a Western movie, I'm going to try to watch it. I just, I don't know. I love the whole timeline of this. So I have another Western coming up too, but this was a bit more, I would say, like serious. It was there was a dramatic story to it. The action was pretty good. I just like the coloring. It looks like you're watching an old film, how they did it. Mm. I remember the gameplay was good. Some of the voice acting was really good. It just set the mood up. Like, this is like a proper big boy Western game that I waited for, besides the typical, like on Nintendo and what you have. You had Gunsmoke. You may have Sunset Riders, but yeah, they're all cowboys, but this is real deal Western, man. You go in like saloons.
So is this,
you
can this
go
FPS?
To the bar. Third person.
Oh, it's third person, was it?
Third person, yeah. It's very similar to like what Red Dead, obviously what Red Dead Redemption became was, a masterpiece, but this is, it's very similar in style, the little map. You can, you have different side missions. The characters themselves are interesting. And I just thought what made it really stand out was the voice acting, because they took the story it was a pretty serious story. So you're playing through the story and you're going through all these things and there's a shootout and you have your little gunslinging action. So yeah, Gun was terrific for me. Like, I just thought it was one of my favorite Western themed games ever. Obviously Red Dead 2 takes the cake, but for PS2 game, it wasn't like arcadey. They did a great job.
Yeah, I have got this, but I've never played it. I think I was thinking of, when I said FPS, I think I was thinking of that Call of Juarez, was it? Call of Juarez?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I never actually played any of those games.
No, I know Bull Border played that, and he enjoyed that. And I remember that was maybe why I got muddled up with that in Gun. But yeah, I'm tempted to give that Gun a go now, because I thought that was completely different to what you just explained.
I remember seeing it in the store. It had like this, like, it was like a yellow cover, black logo with two guns and a skull. I'm like, oh, that looks cool. Like, just the logo of the cover looked great. That made me pick it up, and I was like, oh, it's a Western game. And like, I immediately purchased that, and I played the hell out of this game. I thought it was really, really well done.
Yeah, I'll have to give that a go. Yeah, that's a good choice. My next one, which is number 8 on my list, is Need for Speed Underground 2. I've gone with, this generation, there was a lot of, it was big at the time, the Fast and Furious movies, it was big to have your cars with neons on, flames up the side, blacked out windows and music blaring out. It was that era. And I remember I'd played Need for Speed games previous and quite enjoyed them. I'd played Need for Speed Underground, but that was, you would just go to your races and you'd just click on and then you're in the event. But what they done with Need for Speed Underground 2 was they made it open world. And it's a bit similar to what I said on the PS1 episode with Driver, that being, I was a fan of the Fast and Furious films as well. I think they're all out about the same time.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I'd played and completed Need for Speed Underground, got Underground 2, and then thought, whoa, they've made this open world. So you can cruise up around the mountain bits, you can cruise through the city, pick which races you do, which style of race it is, upgrade your car. Really enjoyed it. I mean, I've gone back and played recently, not to completion, but put a few hours in recently. Still plays really well, a bit similar to what I said to Driver. It plays well. Good soundtrack. Yes, it's a cheesy story. They all those sorts of games are. But, it is playing a Fast and Furious movie. It's all in that era. And I just think that was a bit of making it open world was a bit of a sort of opened it up a bit more. And then you started getting games like games that tried to copy and done well. And some people even prefer them. But you had Juiced, you had Midnight Club. But at
a
start,
lot, yeah.
started that whole, the need for speed originally was obviously just like road racing, but to bring in a story, to bring in the customization, to bring in that more open play you want to do, almost sandbox open world, really got. And then, because after then, once I finished Need for Speed Underground 2, every game that came out, I bought and was on them. Carbon and Most Wanted, and I just played through them. But I think that's where it first clicked with me. So yeah, Need for Speed Underground 2.
Yeah, that's, I never played too many racing games, but I played one. I played this, thought I was good at it. Then when you play competitively with your friend next to you, he would drive next to me and then tap my car, fishtail me out of every friggin' match.
Oh.
No matter what I did. Sometimes he would even just drive up to me like, bro, just, if you're going to win, just go. Don't do this to me now, please. But it was aggravating. But yeah, he was really good at racing games, man. I mean, he still plays them now. So really? He has a huge collection of racing games. I mean, this guy's racing everything. Get a platinum trophy for a racing game, you had to talk to you, bro. Because they're definitely hard.
Yeah, they are tough. But yeah, I did. I put a lot of hours into that back in the day. Yeah, it's a brilliant game. What you got up next then, Bobby?
I got Mafia. So this was a game. So I didn't really play this during its heyday. I played this after I played Mafia 2. So I didn't even know Mafia was even a game. I don't know if it was just over here or just me. I did not hear about this game. Mafia 2 was pretty popular, so I played that. I thought Mafia was just a PC game. Found that it was a PS2 game. So I said, no, I'm going to go back and get this. So I played this a little bit later on. Now, the combat is, you know, it's not the best. It's very, it's kind of like a slower version of Grand Theft Auto, you would say, I guess, if you had to compare it.
Is this the one where you, no spoilers, you start off in the war?
That's two.
That's two. Okay.
Yeah. This one, you start off, you're like a taxi driver.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember.
So then the map is not very good either because it tells you where to go, but there's no really map. So you have to drive around the city. But they made it like this, they designed the city in a way where you would recognize certain things where to go. And as you keep driving, you understand the map layout.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like Grand Theft Auto is a map. You can see what's going on. You have to actually learn the map. A little bit slower in combat, but I thought the story was really good. And I love mafia stories, bro. Like, I just think, I mean, Goodfellas and Godfather, all that stuff. I could watch them all day, really.
Yeah.
So that got me into Mafia 2, really got me into Mafia. And then when you learn about the events of Mafia at the end of the story, I was like, taken back, because I did not expect that to happen. Because how 1 and 2 intertwine is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. And the story was really, like, I think the highlight of it. Because everything else wasn't the best, but I just remember being like really involved in the story and want to see what happened. So I played it all the way through. I loved it. My brother told me about this game even before Mafia 2 came out, but I'm like, how did you even play this game, bro? But apparently he played it before me, and I took his copy to play it, and then I bought my own. So yeah, Mafia's up there for me. I just think the story was good. And yeah, it could have been Mafia 2 helping out boost the game for me. But I think if I would have found this out during the time it was released, I would have still enjoyed it just as much. Probably would have been maybe more aggravated with the gameplay because it wasn't as fast as you thought it would be. The covering system's kind of weird, but you get used to it like anything else you play. Definitely, I think definitely worth it. Yeah, for me.
Yeah, I played both Mafia 2. Then I even started playing Mafia 2 on the sort of remastered trilogy sort of thing they'd done. And I thought the main thing about those games was it was a very 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, whatever. I can't remember which one it was set in. I think it was it 30s and 40s, I think.
30s, yeah.
It was a 1930s, 40s GTA. And it was the details for that game, because when you were driving around in that game or you're going to a mission, with the sounds or the music or the car, you felt you were in that era.
They
nailed the details to make you think. You didn't think you were driving around a modern city in an old car. You were in an old city. And I remember thinking that, and it was well acted. strong characters. Yeah, really, really good games, actually. Probably didn't get the recognition they deserved, really, because I'd probably a bit swamped with all the GTAs and all that.
Oh, there were so many of this. Yeah, I mean, score-wise, it didn't do that good, obviously, compared to other games, because they were obviously way better than this. Mm. But I just think if you like this era or like Mafia in general, the games and the stories and everything, this was really, really well done for a PS2 game. I thought it was good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for any PS2 collector who hadn't played these and you want an open world game, these are very good. They're mm-hmm. great stories there. Very good game. That's a great choice. Next up for me, which is my number 7, is same again. I've gone with a series rather than a specific game. And probably people will be surprised with this, but I've gone with Tiger Woods.
Really?
Yeah. And the reason I've gone with the Tiger Woods games is anything from, if you played old golf games, if you had a Mega Drive or even if like Master System or NES, you'd have things like Mario Golf, or you'd have Golfomania, top-down golf games. It's more arcadey. And then you got into the Mega Drive and the Super Nintendo, you had PGA Tour Golf. They're all very serious. You had to work your shots out, you had to work your irons out, you had to work at learning that game. You had to be able to play golf well on those games, I found. They're good fun, but I always found on those, if you're in a tournament or career mode, you make a mistake on a golf course and you bogey a couple of holes, you're out. That's it, you're done. You won't catch up. And I think EA took Tiger Woods and went, right, let's make it fun. Not that the old games weren't fun. Let's make an arcade golf game. All right. So it's easy to hit the ball. It's easy to, you know, to use spin. It's easy as techniques to it. And you can also get better at playing it. But there's so much replayability in these games. They're still my favorite golf games. Me and my brother-in-law and sometimes Paul Border will still play Tiger Woods games because they're so easy to pick up and play. And you can sit down, couple of beers, have a round of golf, and it's literally, you're going to go in under power. You're going to be hitting amazing shots. You're going to be getting wonderful scores, but it's who gets that best wonderful score. So you're taunting each other and you're playing, and you can pick these up in charity shops for pence. They're just not worth anything, you know. But you 2005, 2006, 2007, brilliant games, great fun. They look good. They play well. I remember I had the PSP version of Tiger Woods. I think it was 07. Played that to death on my PSP. Because you can do a career mode. You can get your character. You can win all the big tournaments, you know, sponsorships, everything. But
that's amazing.
Just for sheer multiplayer, it's incredible. So much fun to play. Because
I never played one golf game my whole life.
You haven't or you have?
Never.
You never. If you do, just play Tiger Woods because it's easy to do. And it is, even if you don't like golf, it's got that arcade fun to it. And it is so much fun because if you're playing with Tiger Woods and your mate's playing with God knows who else, and you've got a long drive, and you'll hit that drive, but you only need to wait one little dink or just slightly off, or someone gets a 30-foot putt, and you're like, get in, you know. And it's not only that, you don't need 4 hours to play a round of golf. You'll get round this in an hour. You'll go 18 holes because it's so quick and you're just at the next shots, and that's great fun. Absolutely brilliant. And I know
that sounds fun, bro. It does.
I know it's another sports game that's on my top 10, but I just think for the, you know, some games are good and they have their time and they fade away, but this is something you can keep going back to. You can keep playing. When I have games night, me and my brother-in-law have this thing that when we have a games night, we just try and play the most obscure golf games. And we've played loads on Saturn and Dreamcast and even the Amiga CD32 Nick Faldo Golf, you know, so we've got some really random games, but still the best game out of all those golf games is the Tiger Woods series of that era. Nowadays you've got the Golf Club and you've got the PGA Tours, which then changed to Rory McIlroy. It's gone very serious now. There's a big technique you have to use. You know, but the Tiger Woods were brilliant because you could use, they started to use the analog, so you do your swing and then you could tap on your D-pad, press down and X, keep tapping X to get the spin quicker and quicker and quicker. And you could do some amazing shots. So fun. So much fun.
That does sound pretty good to do.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that was my number 7. That is the Tiger Woods series on the PS2.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Up next, I went with Manhunt.
Ooh,
so
controversial, that game.
Super controversial. But I remember getting this game at Dragon's Den. I was already in my 20s. It had to be for this game. I mean, it came out 2003, I think it was, or whatever it came out. So definitely over the age to do anything, really, as an adult. And I remember the guy, and I used to go here all the time. And the guy in the store was like, "Oh, you know, you don't want to get this game. It's very violent." And I'm like, "Okay, bro, it doesn't really matter what you say. I want to buy the game." And he gave me like a lecture.
You'll buy even more, man.
Yeah, he gave me like a lecture for it. I'm like, "Come on, bro. Like, you know, so many violent games I had. So why would this any different?" And then he was like, "You know, I remember him telling me you're just killing innocent people." And I'm like, "Why would they release a game like this?" So that made me want it more.
Yeah.
So then I bring it home. I get it. I'm involved with the story. I thought it was interesting because you're playing as somebody who may or may not have killed his family. Mm. You don't know, right?
Yeah.
They take him out to kill him. Next thing you know, he wakes up. And now he's being directed by a director, played by Brian Cox, who is telling you what to do as he's making this very violent and strange, not a snuff film per se, but basically telling you what to do and how to get there to take out other gangs that you're facing in his... Mm. Carcer City, which is ironically in the same universe as Grand Theft Auto.
Mm.
So, yeah, the violence was crazy. They definitely had to tone some of it down. I'm sure there was a lot. I know there was a court case and everything. But depending on what weapon you had and how long you held the weapon for behind the guy to sneak attack, you had like, I think it was yellow, green, or red. Red is obviously the most violent kill with that weapon that you have. Whether it's a plastic bag, a bat, a gun, a shovel, crowbar, whatever. And it was very stealthy because you would get killed if you're out in the open. So everything had to be done stealth. You had to move around the map. The map was very dark. The gangs were interesting. You yourself were trying to get out of this alive, maybe to prove your innocence or whatever, while this guy's directing you to do different things. So, and I thought each level was interesting because each level represented a different gang. Different gangs had different abilities, and you had to get out of here. Towards the end of the game, you face like a guy with a pig mask on, very similar to Saw, chasing you right down with a shotgun, which was absolutely terrifying until you get to the end of the game, beat the game, whatever. But I just thought it was very interesting how they did it. It was super violent, but I mean, nothing I've never seen before. Some of the views were like set views,
yeah,
like on a CCTV. Mm. So you would see yourself in this camera angle, like being watched by this crazy director guy. I loved it. I remember when my stepfather Danny saw me play it, he was like, "What is this?" I mean, he even sat down to watch me play this game because he was interested into it because he'd never seen anything like this before. Mm. I never either.
Yeah.
So just alone on the gameplay, how they made it interesting. And then Brian Cox was involved, who I thought was a great actor, was interested that he would even do something like this.
Mm.
So everything for me just worked. I love this game. I have Manhunt and I have Manhunt 2, which I thought wasn't as good as 1, but it was still up there. They're never going to get remade. They're never going to make a part 3. It's probably never going to happen. But it is what it is. Manhunt is definitely my most infamous game on this list, probably.
Yeah. I mean, I remember. It's obviously clever marketing by Rockstar again. They create their own headlines sometimes to pump the game up. So they were starting headlines themselves saying, "Oh, this game should be banned." And then suddenly everyone wants it. And I remember Board Border again. He bought the game back. Said, "Oh, I've got this game." I was like, "Manhunt? I've never heard of it. What's that?" And then he went, "Oh, you know the one they're trying to ban?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, I know." So straight away, you knew what it was because of all the drama.
Yep.
And then watching him play it, and I was just like, wow, this is violent. This game is violent.
And it's intense. Very intense.
And he said, yeah, watch this, what I could do. Walked up behind this guy, bag over his head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my God.
That I made a video of like the kills one day.
Mm-hmm.
Take it down. I got struck with everything you can get imagine. Don't put this up on YouTube.
Really?
All right. So I never did it. I can never, eventually, I'll get to the manhunt. You know, I stopped doing videos on the game because I kept getting copyright infringements and struck. So I just do the cover of the game. I talk about it. But even if I did show the videos, I would probably not show the videos for this game because what can you show that's going to be safe?
Yeah.
It's out there.
Yeah. And I think, because did these come out after GTAs? Were they after Vice City and that?
If not the same timeline, I think. Yeah. Let me see. I think this came out,
because they obviously had all the controversy with Vice City, and I think.
Yeah, this came out 2003.
Mm. Yeah, Vice City was 2002, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, Vice City is violent enough. The fact that you could just kill random people in the street.
Yeah.
This was contained where, all right, you're not killing random people, you're killing gang members.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be as bad, because they're also bad guys, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
I think the controversy with Vice City that they'd had in the court case, I think Rockstar at the time were just on a wave and thought, right, let's step it up a notch. Let's see if we can go to another level. And they did another level, all right.
They definitely did, that's for sure. Yeah.
Because I've got both Manhunt 1 and 2, and I bought them years ago. They're fairly cheap. I think they're going up in price now. I think they're quite collectible now. I think people are realizing.
Yeah, according. I don't know if it's true or not, but if you have a certain, I don't know if it's a serial number or model number or whatever on the bottom of the game, there's like little numbers.
Mm-hmm.
When everything happened, I think they re-released them secretly and they toned down more of the violence in the game. I think they added like either a red hue or they blurred out something. Don't get me wrong. When you do a crazy kill, you're not like seeing it full screen. There's a little discoloration on it, but you still see what's happening. You know, it's very clear what's happening, but I think they toned it down even further.
Oh, so when they ran a reprint, they toned it. So,
and I don't know if like, you know, if you Steam it or you download it, there's other versions to download that, you know, make it more clear to see.
Probably not an original definitive version.
Yeah, probably some. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what I've always heard and read. So.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, on to my number six. So hard. There were so many games I wanted to add to this list that I had to leave off. But I went with Jak and Daxter. Yeah, I went with Jak and Daxter because I was never big into sort of platform games. I love Sonic. I played a lot of Sonic. Mario's. Still to this day, I can take or leave a Mario game.
Yeah. You
know, I can understand why they're really good, but I never go out my way to play them very often. I mean, there was all the raving about Mario 64, which I have played. It's a good game. Brilliant. You know, it's a bit of a genre-defining game, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how I even came across Jak and Daxter, but I remember having it or reading about it in a PlayStation magazine and then playing it thinking, wow, this is like a 3D action platformer in sort of open world environment, and the collectibles and the story was good. The graphics were very good. And it was just something I'd never played and really different. And I ended up playing one and two. I've still never played three or X, I don't think. And I know there's the spin-off Daxter, which I've played on the PSP, but one and two. And one was very good because it was, you know, we all know it's Naughty Dog. They obviously went on to Uncharted and bits and pieces. But that was the early time when you saw their games and thought, they're really good quality. They're really, you know, when they make a game, it does look good. It does play well. It's very colourful, you know. And, you know, it was amusing. It was funny. It was acted well. And then they went on to two, completely changed it up, put you in a city environment. And just a brilliant game. And even to this day, Mrs. RGT loves Jak and Daxter. She's she still plays him. She struggles with two, but she's determined to play it. And she's the same. She just says, these are so good. They're way ahead of their time. They look fantastic for the generation. You can, and like I was saying, I think Ginge Platinum, Jak and Daxter on the that's not the PS4 version, but it's basically just the PS2 game with the trophies added. And it still looks good. It doesn't.
No, it looks good. Yeah, when I played them again, dude, I thought they did a great job doing that little remaster.
Yeah, and they don't look like a 6th-gen game. They look fantastic, you know. I just think they're easy to get into. There's a certain amount of mastering to bosses and bits and pieces you face, but they're very accessible games.
Some of that racing and two was,
tough. They were tough, but you know, like one was so accessible, and like my wife plays it, and she's never really been much of a gamer. At the moment, she's right into a Stardew Valley and plays that. But for action platformers, no, she'd never play an action platformer. But the entrance level so well done on Jack and Daxter. Anyone can play it. You know, young kids can play it. It's brilliant. Such a good game. Good little series. And that's why I think I added this in, because it was just a game I have great memories of on the PlayStation 2.
For me next. So this is the era where I was still in the comic books, still in the superheroes. The whole superhero, it wasn't happening yet, but there were still superheroes out there, and that was comic books and everything else. So I got the Punisher. Which I had the Nintendo game of the Punisher, which was like a first person, three levels. It's like a rail shooter. Mm-hmm. So you see his back and you can aim at everybody that's passing you by.
Yeah.
You could even shoot the guy playing a saxophone, which I thought was hilarious. I always did it every level. I just cracked me up. But this basically became another, I would say, you know, Grand Theft Auto type of style of game. You know, the Punisher is definitely, a vigilante,
mm-hmm.
yep. taking down the mafia, and he will try to get answers anywhere he can. So you can interrogate an enemy by doing all types of various violent acts to them to get the answers. Put someone's head in a boiling pot of water, you know. So many things you could do in this game. I can't remember everything you could do in this game. Even the gunplay was pretty good. You could also kind of get combos for killing certain things, enemies faster, slower, not getting hit by bullets. I thought the story was pretty interesting. This is another game that got a lot of controversy behind it because of the violence of the game. But for a Punisher game, I mean, this really had everything the Punisher was about into a video game that was very good. I'm pretty sure the Punisher film with Thomas Jane kind of helped this. I don't know if he was the actor in this, actually, but I don't remember the voice acting, but I remember the story being good. Controls were pretty good. You fight various people from the comic books. The problem with the Punisher is that, you know, he killed everybody. So does he have a rogues gallery? Not really. But except one's dead. But just the fact that, you know, it's just the mafia in general going against him. Was pretty good. I remember playing this game all the time. My brother played it. He was shocked by it, but he was still young when this game was out. So he probably played worse games than I did when I was growing up as a kid. So now it's just like a regular action game to us. But at the time, it was pretty controversial. The only other Punisher game I think he played with me was the Punisher on Sega.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Nick Fury was your partner if you had a co-op. And you went around beating everybody up. It was an arcade game too, but I remember playing that. But this was like, wow, bro, this was the Punisher we all wanted. So yeah, I love this game.
This was I've still never played this. And I remember this went under the radar. I wasn't really into sort of superhero stuff, so that went under radar. I didn't think nothing of it. But it's creeping up in price now, and it's one that people are saying that's a bit of a hidden gem, appreciated game now. The Punisher, and I know it is getting fairly collectible. I think a lot of people try and get the original Xbox version. But yes, yeah, always got good reviews, especially with when people do retro games, top 10s and bits and pieces. It always seems to be on there, The Punisher. Yeah, it seems a really good game. It's definitely one I'd like to get into. I didn't quite realize that was as violent as that.
Super. This was very close to getting an adult only rating.
Wow.
Which wouldn't, I don't think would be allowed to be published in America if it got an O. So they had to tone down some of the death animation and kills on it, which was, and then it got a revised to a mature rating, which was crazy. So, some of the game had to be removed completely to be released overseas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it was not allowed to be there at all.
Wow. But, I never realized that. I knew it was there.
Yeah.
I know it was quite a violent game. I didn't realize.
I mean, Manhunt is still banned in some places. You can't play. I mean, now everyone can play everything with emulation, but the fact that if you can even get it in your country, good luck. So yeah, no, this was violent, man. There was lots of kills here you could do.
Oh man, yeah, that's interesting. It's another one I'll have to look up and try and play, I reckon. Next on my list, which is number 5, I have NBA Street.
Ooh, you know what? We haven't had a crossover yet.
No.
Interesting.
Oh, no, we have first one you chose.
Oh, okay.
GTAs. I got them later on in my list. But other than that, no, we've been quite different here.
So interesting. Yeah. Different times in our life. See what happens?
Yeah. And I mean, uh-huh. I think that, you know, EA went down this route with the EA big titles they done where they, you know, FIFA Street and NBA Street. I think they even done, did they do NHL Street or
They did something NFL. Similar. NFL, yeah, like and that. Then they had... it wasn't PS2 though, but they did like a Rock the Rink. I mean, NHL games are normally heavy hitting games anyway, but they want like arcade style with hitting and everything. So they're popular.
Yeah, this was a very addictive game, and it was just the gameplay loop which we loved. Same again, me and Bill Border had this. We'd play 2-player, and if you haven't played it, you'd play like street basketball with smaller teams. And I think you had, come if you had 3 or 4 on a team. I think you might have 4.
3-on-3.
Yeah. Oh, 3-on-3. Yeah. And you would start off in your area with your team. And then if you then beat the next team in your area, you could pick to take one of their best players. And then you'd build your team on going around cities, taking on teams and improving your squad. And it was so addictive. And then you'd have you'd build up your turbo bar. You could do your special move. You had a commentator who was hilarious and brilliant, or, you know, and he'd say funny things as you'd done it. But it had that arcade, real easy to play. I mean, basketball games have gone quite serious now. I find they're tricky to play. But this had that arcade feel, great fun to play, great playability, had the humour and the music. But then on the other side, you had a really good career-based game where you could keep getting your team better, beat that next big team, take their best player, keep altering your 3-round who you had, you know, and it was, really well done. I think we played 2 and 3, but it was always that first one for me that was that was the best one. And the same again, a bit like Tiger Woods. You could probably pick this up for a couple of bucks now, and it's still so playable. You can pick up, that's your pass button, that's your dunk button, that's your shoot button, that's your turbo button, where you go. And then you can block and and they had these great sound effects that when you blocked, you got this certain noise. When you'd done a dunk, you got a certain noise. And they were just all fitted in so well. Brilliantly fun game. And just one of the best, I think, street side of games they done in them genres, you know, of that time, I think. But yeah, brilliant.
NBA, like a big boy NBA Jam, like a more in-depth NBA Jam similar.
Yes, definitely. That's a great comparison. Yeah, it very is. And like I say, it's just so playable now. Great game.
So for me, I got Red Dead Revolver, another Western game.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of interesting... Obviously, this created the Red Dead Redemption franchise.
Yeah.
But this Red Dead Revolver goes back to Gunsmoke, which was an arcade game in the 80s. And it was released on Nintendo and a bunch of other systems back then. So Capcom wanted to bring this game back.
Mm.
And they had like, they wanted to make like an arcade style shooter that was like fun and, you know, different wild zany characters and a Western setting, different shoot animations for different guns. And it was supposed to be like a really wild arcade shooter. Something happened, didn't work out. And then, who took it? Rockstar got the rights back. And then they took some of the Capcom action, toned it down a little bit. They still made it arcade-like, but they toned it down because it was like really arcade action. Toned it down, added a story, still had this wild characters. And the gameplay was really good. I mean, the gameplay wasn't the best, but the characters and the story themselves kept me intrigued. I really liked how they presented the story. I like how they had stereotypical characters for each town you went into to take over. There was a little bit of a multiplayer in here, like a you and your friend could try to. I think it was like almost like a battle royale type deal in the game.
Okay, yeah.
So I mean, it was like it wasn't the best, but like a little split screen. Mm-hmm. So you try to take each other out. You can play as every character in the game, which was interesting. Yeah. Each other, little cons and pros, pros and cons, whatever. But the story here was what I liked mostly the gameplay of it, especially when they had like the quick draws and you have to like bring your gun up and hit the buttons to kill the enemy before they killed you. Some of the stuff, I remember playing it like pretty difficult if you didn't really master some of the skills early on.
Yeah, I remember I played it, but I didn't get far into it. And I think Bald Border was the same. We found that tough, that game.
Definitely tough. It's now also, they re-released it with trophies for PSN. I think I saw it on there.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I have the original game, so I probably won't download that. But I mean, if you didn't have it or whatever, I don't know how much it cost, but I mean, this basically started the Red Dead Redemption franchise.
Is this linked to Red Dead? Is there any crossover
characters? It's not really linked to it. Yeah, there's like a lot of lore where some of the characters might be in Red Dead, but under different names, yada. But I mean, nothing's really confirmed.
Mm.
But I mean, this definitely started a movement.
Yeah.
And a lot of people loved it. They reacted to it. And then I think that's when they decided to go to like a more, let's make like a real serious shoot, action game. Like an adventure game, and then Red Dead Redemption came out. But this definitely started it all. So yeah. I love this game.
It's that's weird when you look back and how successful Red Dead Redemption 2 was, and obviously the re-release of Red Dead. But then you look back, and this is the roots. This was them realizing like making a game.
Every game.
Yeah, but then thinking, hang on, there's something in this Western here. We could do something here. And obviously the rest is history. But yeah, great choice. Next up for me, which is number 4 on my list, is probably no surprise, Gran Turismo 4. Mm. We had 3 A-spec on PS2 as well. But Gran Turismo 4 looked and played stunning for a PS2 game. Even if you go back now and play that game, you think, wow, this looks incredible, this game. And you had your similar premise as what the other Gran Turismo games were. But I think this was one of the few titles where you could use your component cables and get, is it 480i or P? I always get them muddled up, but you could almost have the early HD graphics through this. Looks absolutely brilliant. Plays absolutely brilliant. And I think they just had this, Gran Turismo just had this knack that even though the career mode and the premise was pretty much identical from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, they obviously changed up the sport, but you still bought them games each year. It was just something with them games. Obviously, your car roster changes. It might go up, it might go down. You might get more guys, you might get less. You might get more cars. You might get car companies that will go away, but others will come in. But it was just that I remember buying it, popping it in my PS2 and thinking, wow, this is, it's almost like a leap forward on the same console. You put that side by side with other games of the time, driving games at the time, you just like, you would think these were running. I mean, it to me looks like an early PS3 game. Looks brilliant, plays brilliant, soundtrack's brilliant. Just the best driving game on that system and of that generation, I think, anyway.
But yeah, my boy had this, Alex, played this to death.
Yeah.
Every lap in every car. I mean, every car acted completely different.
Yep.
Which was, like, it felt like you were actually in that car.
Sounded different.
It was just, yeah, they did an amazing job with these cars, man. And just that alone was knockout.
Even if you just had a few credits to change your suspension, you put sports suspension on rather than road suspension, bam, you're knocking 3-4 seconds off, the car's planted. Every little change adds that little bit more to your car. So addictive.
Yeah.
So well made. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, Gran Turismo 4.
Up next for me is Silent Hill 2. So I had it was hard because Resident Evil 4, I love Resident Evil franchise. I thought they were great. I think 4 was probably the last good game for a while that came out until the newer ones came out. But I had to pick Silent Hill 2 because I'm like, Silent Hill, something about the story, the weirdness and the sadness of 2 just got like really, I just will never forget. Yeah. There's someone wrote, I remember in school, somebody wrote a whole essay about Silent Hill. Mm-hmm. Got like an A+. It was some kind of whatever doing. And I'm like, my God, this guy went in depth, you know? And you could really go in depth in 2 because all the enemy creatures is something that James is feeling that is being projected out in Silent Hill. So, you know, his wife passed away, got a letter from her to revisit Silent Hill to go get her. And then the story just takes another turn. The fog here is also very good. Obviously, it's better than 1. But still, you can't see nothing in front of you. The sounds that they make is like what's around you, what's in you. As you go deeper in the game, it gets crazier and crazier and crazier. Again, just a regular guy, not an action hero. So his aim, his skills with a bat is not as good. Definitely more hide and seek than attack and kill.
Yeah.
But the story's good. I thought the music was good. It's a very haunting game if you take it that direction. But I mean, if you're playing this even now with the lights off and you're just zoned in, I mean, you still get creeped out.
Yeah, definitely.
So I still think it really works well. The other Silent Hill games, I think they're all good on the PS2. Even 3 is really good. It connects with the sequel to the first one. The Room, which was a totally different Silent Hill game, I thought was really well done. But 2 just hits it for me there. So I picked 2 out of this list.
And that's another one which was a real genre jump as well. So if you had Silent Hill on the PS1, which looked good for the generation, looked brilliant, and then you got the new console and you thought, Silent Hill 2's out, on a pre-order that and get it. And then you pop that in, you think, wow, this is a huge leap.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And that did look really good. It was a great looking game. And, you know, like you say, it's one of them times where everything was there for the whole experience. So it was graphics. It was the scariness. It was the sound. It was the, like you say, he's not going to go out there killing everything in his sight. You can't. So there's that fear factor of you being underpowered in a being completely out of your depth and out of control. And yeah, completely nailed it. Well, brilliant game. Absolutely brilliant game. Next for me, this is number 3 now. Another one where people think this is probably quite generic and that, but it was a change of direction for a company, which I think I absolutely love this game, and that is Tony Hawk's Underground.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And reason being, I mean, you've never really played Tony Hawk's, have you? No. So your standard Tony Hawk's Pro Skaters 1, 2, 3, 4 would have you on levels. So you'll be like in an airplane hangar, and then they'll be like, you have to collect the word skate, and there'll be an S and a K and a T, and you have to work your way through to collecting all them. And there's different goals. You keep replaying the level, getting different goals, beat this high score, grind the helicopter blades, jump the gap.
Oh, you know,
there's all different things you could do. Now, they'd obviously run the course a bit, so they thought, right, what should we do? So they made Tony Hawk's Underground. Now, Tony Hawk's Underground is more of almost like an RPG in a way. So you're playing as a character. You create your character, and you start off as a skater, just an amateur skater in the street. You've got your friend Eric Sparrow, who's a skater with you, and then you then get spotted doing a trick in your neighborhood, and then you go on there's all a story to it.
Oh, wow.
With you and Eric both getting spotted, and I won't spoil a story, but there's a story to it, and you go off on a world tour, and you have to compete against Eric, and his money's got the better of him, and you just go off on this adventure as a skateboarder. And you start from the streets and you become world famous and a pro. Really good. Still got the essence of Tony Hawk's, still got your tricks. But just the way I liked that they thought, right, we've done 1, we've done 2, we've done 3. These are saying, let's try something different. Let's try adding a story.
That sounds really interesting, actually.
And it's really, really good. They done Underground 2 as well, which was more of, I think you were then famous then, and you were getting against a rival skate team, if I remember rightly, and you had to go around the world and beat those. But I always remember one being, because when I was Tony Hawk's Underground, I thought this was just going to be like the Tony Hawk's games just in an underground setting. I didn't think nothing of it. Yeah. Then start it up and think, oh, create my character. That's cool. You know, try to make him look like me as you do and all the bits of it. Then suddenly you've got this cutscene and there's your mate and you're in the street. Oh, can you see if you can do this trick? And you start and you think, hang on, there's a story to this. This is like a proper story-driven game. Yes, brilliant. I played it again about 2 or 3 years ago and still as good as ever, you know.
No way. That didn't come with the collection?
Sorry?
That didn't come with the collection you got? Or no, that's separate?
No, that was just Tony Hawk's 1 and 2 remastered.
Surprised I didn't pick this one out, maybe.
Yeah, I'd love
that. That sounds great, bro.
If they made this as a modern game, I think they'd be on a winner because it's great. It's so much fun. It's underappreciated. When people talk with Tony Hawk's games, they talk of 3. There's a few, they went off on like American Wasteland. They've done a few games which are all pretty much on the par with what the originals were. They were just hanging out a genre, really. That was underground where they verted off a bit, excuse the pun. They verted off and tried adding the story in, and it's just brilliant. You know, yes, it's arcadey. Yes, the story's a bit cheesy. Yes, you have to do silly tricks in silly cities like in Moscow, and, you know, it'll add into the story. Like, you'd have to get into a place to, like, steal something back, and you'll have to do a trick over a vert ramp into the area to, you know, so it's far-fetched, but you just want to carry on the story. It gives you a reason to play, but you're also playing the Tony Hawk's game at the same time. So it's a good balance, but yeah, love that game. Hence why so far up on the list, but yeah, Tony Hawk's Underground. They did do a remix on the PSP, I think, but if you've got a PSP.
Oh, really?
You got a PS2, just grab it. Same again. I don't think it's that expensive, so it's definitely worth a playthrough.
That is good. Up next, I got The Thing. Love the film, The Thing.
Yeah, same here.
It's one of my favorite horror films. This is my favorite film probably in general. Forget about just being horror film.
The black and white one is my favorite.
Oh, yeah. The Thing from Another World was incredible. I mean, thank God for that, because if he didn't do that, we would have never had The Thing. No, so I'm grateful for that film.
That scared the wits out of me as a kid.
It was really good. Even now, I think it's pretty good. Definitely should be watched. Will it?
Yeah.
But I remember watching The Thing young, because, you know, I watched all types of horror movies, and I didn't really understand it. I thought it was cool visual effects. As you get older and you watch it, and you start watching the characters, who is The Thing? What is happening here? You know, especially the ending. It's like, who was it? Was it? You know, what's his name? MacReady?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I can't get another guy's name. One of them, what was it? Mm. There's a laugh at the end. There's a trick that's being played and you don't know who it is. Why was he laughing? Whatever. And I've always found that interesting. So then when the game was announced, I was like, okay, is it based off the movie? Because that's weird.
Yeah.
Found out it's an actual sequel to the film, which I thought was great. And they use that trust as who is the thing or who's not the thing. So as you go around the outpost trying to kill them, some of your party can be infected by it. Mm. So there's a trust issue. So you could tell your members to do different things while you can have them do different tasks while you're also doing tasks.
I love this.
And then if you feel like they're acting different, you can test them.
Yeah.
If you test them and they're not, you lose morale. And they start to change. They get more nervous around you. You always have to like boost up morale, whatever.
Yeah.
If they are the thing, you try to kill them right there because before they get even crazier. So I thought that whole concept was unique because I never actually saw that in a horror game or any game really, like giving commands like that and trusting people to do things.
Couldn't you, if I remember rightly, couldn't you give them, was it like a adrenaline shot or something? Or you could give them an injection to calm them down if they panicked?
Yeah, you could do all that stuff. Yeah, if they're injured, you can help them.
Yeah,
you could give them certain weapons and tell, okay, hold this down, which I thought was really interesting. The notes you find from the members of there, like you're trying to figure out what's happening. I also thought it was pretty challenging. Actually, it wasn't. It was pretty difficult.
Yeah.
I played with my boy Alex like all the time, and he just got on my nerves because everything was a blood test. Like, bro, stop. Your team hates you. Because they'll try to shoot you back as well if you keep testing them too much.
Yeah, I think the first time I played it, one of my guys started panicking. I thought, I'm not going to risk it. He's going to change. I just blew his head off. And I was like, oh, I think he was all right.
It's really, really interesting. So I thought like, wow, this game is actually
Clever mechanic.
Really, really, yeah. Clever. So I thought the movie was really well done. The game definitely had that movie vibe to it. It like with the fact that it's an actual sequel is incredible. You know, I mean, I haven't watched the prequel thing, which maybe wasn't as good, but it shows you the station that they were the people before and after. So, I mean, the whole franchise, I think, is really, really phenomenal. But I remember the game was just so unique at the time.
Yeah.
That I'm happy I have this game because I have never seen it on a shelf since. I don't know how much it goes for, but just the fact that you don't see it in nowhere could be a rare game. I don't know. There was a sequel that was planned, but it was canceled for whatever reason. I'm not sure if the license issue was something like that, but yeah, just a really, really well done game. And the story at the end takes another turn that I didn't expect. So I love this game, man. I thought it was great.
Well, I think I got this quite a while after its release. I was still on a PS2 at the time. And I remember I paid next to nothing for this. I just thought, well, I love the film, just to see what the game's like. But like you say, that extra mechanic they put in, you can test your members. Are they infected or aren't they? They panic. They sometimes don't trust you. So you have to calm them down. At first I thought, oh, I don't know if I can go through all this. But once you get the hang of it and you keep an eye on your people, such a clever mechanic to a game. And it's quite an underappreciated game, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah, very.
They even have, like, if you go outside for too long, you could freeze. You got to warm up.
Yep.
So you just can't be running around outside. You have to make – it's like strategic plan how you're going to get into these areas without killing all your party members because you need them. I mean, the game is pretty tough. Yeah. If you're thinking you're doing a solo, good luck.
Yeah, they added a lot into that game. It was very well
done. They really, really did. Yeah, it was super, super cool.
Number two now on the list, and I have got, known in England and Europe as Canis Cayman Edit, but known in America as Bully. It's my number two. And I remember hearing, I think it was in magazines and bits, hearing rumors of this game. And they were sitting, basically everyone kept saying GTA in a school. It's GTA in a school, and I just thought, this sounds incredible. I'm all over this. And then bought it, but as soon as it came out, bought this game. As soon as I put it on, and they're dropping Jimmy Hopkins off at school. And the humor, the graphics, he thought, this is Rockstar all over this game.
Rockstar could not do nothing wrong, huh?
No. And I reckon this is probably the game I've completed the most. I think I've completed this about six times, this game.
Wow.
And the last time I got the platinum on the PS4 on the version.
Congrats.
And never get bored of playing this game. I love the environment. I love how you still have your gangs, like a GTA game, but the school gangs. You've got your greasers, you've got your nerds, and they all have their own specific uses and weapons. You have to do your classes. That's brilliant. I ended up buying every copy of this game. So I've got the Wii version. I've got the 360 version, which is probably the definitive version because you've got.
Really?
Because it's in any HD because it's on the 360. Oh. And I do believe it's got extra lessons added in. So you've got a couple of extra lessons added in and bits. We've always been crying out for a Bully 2. And I always think, come on, Rockstar, make a Bully 2.
Yeah, make it happen, man.
There was rumors a few years ago they were going to do Bully 2 and it was going to be Jimmy Hopkins in college. But that's never come to fruition or anything.
Different fraternity, that'd be cool too.
Oh, it'd be brilliant. But if you haven't played Bully, basically you're a lad who's been in a bit of trouble. Your mum and your stepdad aren't really keen on you, so they dump you in this boarding school, which is not the best of places. So it's about you protecting yourself. This got a lot of controversy at the time, hence they had to change the name Bully because obviously politicians being politicians are saying, oh, you shouldn't encourage bullying. If you actually play the game, you're not encouraging bullying. You're against it.
Trying to steer, exactly.
You stop the bullies. But anyway, so it's controversial at the time, but you have your dorm room. You go through the different seasons in the school. So you have Halloween, and there'll be certain missions for that. You have your classes, so they're like quick time events. Once you've mastered all your classes, you can then miss them. So you can do stuff. Some of the missions are hilarious. The characters are hilarious. The bad guy's got that proper young psychopath to him. And there's so much doing it because you can, once you've done all your classes, you can then truant, you can get out of the school gates. There's a nearby town. There's a pier. You can have hideouts in the town. So much to do. There's BMX racing. You can even get odd jobs. You can go and mow lawns for a few dollars and earn yourself some money. So it's a very in-depth game, but so enjoyable, so addictive. And such a shame they've never done a second one yet. But yeah, that's my number two.
It probably couldn't even be released now. If this was now, this was game being released now, probably couldn't be released now.
No, it's of its time. I think it's of its time. I'd love to see him do a lot of full-blown remake, but
I would love it. It's sad that it can't, but I mean, it's just the times now.
But just, brilliant, brilliant game. Very well done. So if you haven't played it, but you like GTA games, you are missing out. Make sure you play. And not sad, it's on the PlayStation Store. If you've got a PS5, I'm not sure. It must be on Xbox as well, I would have thought.
I'm sure.
Excuse me. Yeah, so it must be on there, but it's definitely worth a playthrough.
Wasn't it a free game or something like that one time? I think I downloaded it free. I mean, I have the PS2 game, but I think it was a freebie.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I think even that PS2 version on the store is it's got trophies added, so you can platinum it. But that's even, I think it's only $6 or $7. That's not much, but that's a fantastic game. But yeah, definitely give it a go. Canis Kamen Edit Stroke Bully.
So my last game, I was going to do it live on air because I wrote down two for the last game because it's like you had X-Men Legends 2. Again, big superhero fan. Played all the superhero games you can imagine. And then Twisted Metal Black. I played the originals on PlayStation. Thought they were good, but I'm going to go with Twisted Metal Black. It's a knock out the X-Men Legends one. The intro to this game scared my sister to death. I was with Katie. She was terrified of the baby doll. Didn't like it at all. Didn't even know that it was painted black. So she got freaked out. My sister Christy was enthralled with the game. I think she played it even more than I did.
Wow.
I think it was just the characters and the story that she wanted to complete every single one because she wants to know what happened to them. So she was really into it. I was into it. My boy Al was into it. We had to play this. I mean, of all the games I played with the door open that anyone could watch, I had to close the door for this game because every time if you were playing as Sweet Tooth and he laughed, my sister would just have a nightmare heart attack.
Oh no!
I'm like, calm down, close the door. Don't know why. Now she loves it. But I think she was just at that time, I don't know. Yeah, she was not a big horror fan like I was. She is now, but back then she was terrified of. My brother don't like this game still. He's not a horror fan. But the gameplay was more adult. The cars were all unique. The storyline was pretty good because it's like, what's that saying? You know, it's that was
sort of non-licensed cars. But.
Yeah. So it's like I was saying, like, you know, don't always, you're not always going to get what you pray for or whatever, something like that. Yeah. So it's like very similar, like, you know, like they took a darker turn with these stories. I thought the action were good. The boss battles were good. Even playing it with your friend, two player mode was pretty interesting. It's another very challenging game. It's not easy. I don't think there's a difficulty. I think it's the same for everyone. So you just have to get good, learn the controls and go at it. But I wish they redid this. I wish there was another Twisted Metal they came out with because not really like a racing fan. This is like combat racing. I think I fell in love with combat racing from like Rock and Roll Racing on Super NES.
Yes.
I just loved that game. Brilliant. Even if I was losing some missiles, I'm first place. You know what I mean? Same thing here. You just take out who you could take out. You know, I just thought it was really interesting how they took Twisted Metal and they made it like a big, dark, scary version of it. I mean, it was always twisted, obviously, Twisted Metal, but it was really dark here, which I thought was great.
It's a very, very well thought of game. It was very good. And that was, you know, car combat, but like you say, it had that horror element, which there wasn't, apart from they'd done that a few years previous, they'd done the Carmageddon games, but not on nowhere near the same level as a Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
So it was quite an interesting genre on its own at the time. And I'm surprised that you say they haven't made another one, especially with the TV series. normally, you know, like Last of Us, they remastered the game, brought them back. You think they'd have some sort of link something. To the game?
I mean, it's. I think you can get this at the store, PSN store download, but I don't think it's remastered. I just think it's the original emulated game you can download. I don't know if it's a remastered, but I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, I never seen the TV show, but I heard it was pretty popular. So now's your chance to get back on the Twisted Metal vibe.
Mm.
Interesting,
it's a big following to that game. I know Scott Maverick came and he loved Twisted Metal on PS1. You know, I think you'd probably be on a winner if they did do a remastered remake or a new
version. Nowadays with the controls and everything else you could do, I think it'll be terrific, man.
Oh, yeah, if you know, you're like driving with Sweet Tooth and you can hear his voice through the controller and adaptive triggers and stuff for your weapons, it'd be brilliant. Yeah,
it'll be really good. Your little map you gotta take out and the different cities you could go into and areas. I think it'll be phenomenal, man.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant.
So that's my list, my top 10. This is the last one.
Last one is the only one we crossed over on. So my number one, I've done a series again. I've done the GTAs. So I've done 3, Vice City and San Andreas. Basically, we all know the story. You know, there'd been open world games before, but GTA 3 was the one that brought it to the masses.
Yeah.
I've told this story before, but me and Bill Border were looking for something to play. He went off to the shop, come back, and I remember still seeing that cover for the first time, GTA 3, and I thought, what's that? He said, don't know. It's supposed to be really good. We'll give it a go. And then just playing it and thinking, we can go anywhere. Do we?
Yeah.
Has the mission started yet? Or you got to go to the mission. Oh, what? We drive to the mission? And I just thought, whoa, hold on. And then we heard Vice City was coming out. I queued up at midnight for Vice City.
Get out of here.
No, I went. I had to drive 20 miles, queued up at... People were queuing up at midnight for this game.
I remember that, man. Got my copy. Queuing up for a lot of things. Yeah. That don't happen no more either.
Got back at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Got it. I've got Vice City. You've got Vice City. He's like, right, but we're not playing it until we finish 3. We've got to finish 3 and we'll play Vice City. But he said, let's just do the intro. Okay, let's do the intro. See what it's like. Put the disc in. Suddenly, dum, 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 dum. I was like, this is sick. And we were like, oh my God, right, let's get 3. And then Vice City. Obviously, we've streamed them recently. Me and Bill Border, we've redone again, completed 3, completed Vice City. They seem a lot shorter now. Now you're playing with modern controls. They seem
They really do.
They're not that long, but just the memories of those games. And then Rockstar being Rockstar when they're at their absolute best, they made San Andreas, made it even bigger.
Yeah.
And I even remember, I think I was watching a lot of YouTube documentary about San Andreas, and they were told that map's too big for a PS2. You cannot put that map on it. It doesn't physically work. And they said, we'll do it. So they actually, I think they'd done it where they had the map split into sections and it would only load in part of the map at a time. So the system didn't have to run that whole map. They literally made their own.
That's smart.
Very clever. And then, obviously, with San Andreas, you then had the ease of life controls, and then added the right analog stick for your camera, which made the game so even better. And with San Andreas, you would obviously be in the city, things would happen. You'd go out to the countryside. You'd have to do all these missions out there. Absolutely superb games. Genre-defining. They opened the doors to a lot of these big 3D open-world games. And if you're a younger person, you've never played, just go look up the original Grand Theft Auto and DMA Designs before that was Rockstar, top down. Similar premise, but you look at GTA 1 and 2 and then to see how different GTA 3 was, and you'll see how big a jump that was that Rockstar done.
Yeah, huge.
Absolutely. And that's why I've put them as number one, because that's, you know, it opened up, like I say, a whole new genre, opened up other companies to try it. There was many companies tried to make GTA clones. You had True Crimes, even Mafias to a certain extent, although Mafia rather than cloning took it to a different era, which done an amazing job. But you had your True Crime games and a few other ones that tried to, Drivers tried it. We had the notorious Driver 3 and Parallel Lines, which were just pretty broken and just couldn't keep up with GTAs. But just such good memories of those games, completed them many times, never get bored. They are my number one. I did have just a couple of honourable mentions. I mean, The Thing was one of them, which you chose on your list. The Warriors, Navarro.
Oh, the Warriors was fantastic, bro.
Warriors of
just that was one of like the really like last, probably not last, but really cool co-op beat 'em up you could play together on a whole scale, which was great.
Not only that, they didn't pick a film from our generation. They picked a film from the 70s.
Yeah.
And just said, it doesn't matter if no one's heard of it. We'll make this an awesome game.
And it worked out.
Brilliant. And then I went back and watched the film after that. I'd never heard of the film. I thought, what's the Warriors? And then someone said, oh, that's off a film, is it? So mate, is it? Then went and watched the film. I mean,
true.
And also put on it, this is another weird one, another Rockstar game that people forgot about, was Smuggler's Run. I really enjoyed Smuggler's Run. Yes, it's quite basic. It's not their usual stuff. You're literally a smuggler in your doom buggies and your trucks, and you're picking up contraband and getting it to areas in this fast-paced sort of chasing game, but really good. They sort of go under the radar a bit for their Smuggler's Run games, but really enjoyed those. Same again, you pick them up pretty cheap. I think they've done Smugglers 1 and 2 on the PS2. But there, a couple of honourable mentions to add in. And yeah, so there are our top 10. So we had some good games in there, Bobby. Not a lot of crossovers.
No, not really. Yeah, it's interesting too because, you know, like there was, like you said, there's so many PS2 games out there. I mean, I highly doubt everyone's list will be exactly the same because we're not picking the all-time. We're picking our personal favourite games.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I mean, you know, there'll be people that will say, oh, you know, Final Fantasies, Metal Gear Solids, you know, Sly Cooper's Ratchet and Clank. There's a vast...
Even Def Jam Vendetta, that was one of the most popular fighting games on the system.
Exactly. You know, there is so many games on this system that we could have picked from, but there are our top 10 anyway. Should we have a read of the Unglorious section?
Yeah.
We do a shout-out on our Unglorious. I've only got one this week. That's my fault because I forgot to put it on late. I'd written it, but didn't press send. So that's my fault. So we had only had a short time before, so I've only got one on here. Did you want me to read this, Bobby? Or?
I have the one from last week, so you can add the new one if you wanted to.
Oh, what one last week have you got?
Oh, I mean, no, I'm in the wrong section. Go ahead, read it. Yeah.
I've just got the one that was added today from Digital Monkery, which he said Metal Gear Solid 2 was his favourite PS2.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
He's put so many little details that felt amazing to spot at the time. I remember having magazines with the hidden stuff listed in it and following them to find it. I hadn't played the original at that point, so the change to Raiden meant nothing to me. The only negative I can think of is how cutscene and exposition heavy it is in the last hour or so. Honorable mention has to go to Final Fantasy X. Also, fantastic looking game, which looks even better in PS4 remaster. The combat and skill tree built on Final Fantasy IX had done and made it feel really fresh for turn based. So yeah, so he's had his favorite there, which is Metal Gear Solid 2, and some honorable mentions, which to be fair, PS2 honorable mentions, you could list and list and list.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I could list all day. I could do a top 25 and struggle.
Easy, yeah, easy. You'd still have to be crossing a lot of games off that thing. Right, should we do the subs list, Bobby?
Yep.
Let me just bring that up. Here we go. Do you want to start this time, Bobby?
Yeah, start it off, yeah. So first one, we got Trestles in New York.
Then we got Bada Bingsta.
Then we got Tingle Tuner. Yeah. I always say it wrong.
Yeah, so do I. Then we got Digital Monkery.
We got Motherwell's very own Roast Space Monk.
Yeah, and then we got the Gaming Graham.
The Bald Border.
And then we got Boba.
Marathon Gaming.
Seal Master Elliot.
Another redhead. Our my brethren, Ginge.
Then we've got the wonderful Emma Sharp.
The legendary Harvey Retro.
Then we've got Nowhere Near Berlin.
Everyone's favorite, Mumsy.
Mumsy. Then we've got, I hate saying this one, the RGT Fan Club.
Which is a real thing, by the way. Then we got Pete Brocklehurst.
And then we've got your boy, Billy Marmite.
Then we got Simon Reich.
That's it. You got it.
Nailed it.
And then finally, we've got Fat Zangief. So thank you so much to all those people. There are subscribers. If you're ever interested in that, just check in your podcast user of choice and you'll see a little thing called support the show. And there's the tiers on there for doing that. So thanks to everyone who does that. Means the world to us and really helps the show keep going every week, week in, week out. So should we go? Might as well go on to our hoping to play, aren't we, Bobby?
Yeah, definitely. Well, still Helldivers, going to continue that for the foreseeable future. Knock out some Destroy All Humans if no one else is on. If my brother's on, maybe I'll just do some Dead Island 2. But I have a couple things I can at least play this week and not be bored. What about you?
Probably a couple more missions and expeditions. I'll play a bit more Chorus. Whether I'll see it through, don't know. I'm unsure yet. Like I say, it's a good-looking game. Good story mode. It's tough. It's something you need to concentrate on, I think, and put the hours into it, which I don't know if I've got at the moment, but still worth a look at that game. Definitely more Bioshock. Absolutely loving that game. I should be on that straight after this show's finished. So I'll try my new controller and my Defender on there. And that'll probably be pretty much it, I reckon, for the rest of this week.
Sounds like a good week.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
You have everything planned out. Now we've got to lay it down.
Yeah, that's when I'm playing Bioshock, because I'm playing it on a PS3 in the shed, that is, I get myself a drink, bag of cashews, swing round this chair, big TV on, the lock goes across the door.
Yeah, that's it.
Phone goes on silent, but the strategy guide in my lap, away we go, and I'm in that world. I'm that's in rapture. Way to go. I'm in rapture.
So many times I put my phone on silent, I turn it upside down when I'm just focused. Yeah. And then, like, obviously, as soon as you're focused, you know, people will text you and call you.
Yeah.
Nobody will text and call me, just watching TV.
Yeah.
As soon as I put a controller in my hand, the whole world goes on fire.
Yeah.
That's life, you know?
My wife came knocked on the door the other day, and I said, hang on, plant a beer in a minute. And then I went outside the shed. She's like, what were you doing? I said, that won't mean nothing to you, but I was being chased by a big daddy. She's like, what? So I'll explain to you when we get home. But it was a big daddy chasing me. So I was trying to run and turn around and electrocute.
The big dads are terrifying.
They are. And you hear them as well from round corners. And you can hear the noise they make.
It's very similar to like when you first heard the Nemesis in Resident Evil 3.
Just
that idiot running at you with, oh, come on, bro. Are you trying to kill me?
Yeah, just leave us alone, fella. So I think that's all for this week. Did you want me to do the outro? Or do you want to do the outro?
Yeah, do the outro. I did the intro.
Right. So at least all what we've got to say is there's nothing wrong with being given the unofficial controller. It's what you do with it that counts. See you later, Bobby.
Peace out.